Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to Face to Face. This is a show about change and about what's next. It's a show that wants to ask questions, peel back the layers of our average everyday experience, and go beyond scratching the surface. We interview amazing people with incredible ideas and stories who have done wild, weird, and wonderful things. Remember that imagination shared creates collaboration, and collaboration creates community, and community inspires social change. I'm David Peck, and this is Face to Face.
Called the Gaza Surf Club. Very interesting documentary. It's a short interview, a little bit noisy in the background. We were at a bar, there was a lot going on, but I don't think it's going to be too distracting at all. This film is about surfing, and it's about surfing on the Gaza Strip, and this is a pretty angry white cap like water. And here I was talking to Philip Gannat, the director, Mickey Yamin, and Matthew Olson, kind of one of the guys behind this whole thing. And so watch this film and enjoy it if you're a surfer or a skateboarder, but more importantly, watch it from the perspective of, well, from a political perspective, from a relational perspective. What does it mean to build community? What about gender issues around the world? How does that affect who we are and how we do things? And I think you're even going to find out a little bit about Islamic nail polish. I know it sounds crazy, but it's absolutely true. The Gaza Surf Club, Phil Gannat, Mickey or Michael Yamin, Matthew Olson, and davidpecklive.com for more interviews, rabble.ca. Check us out there, and we are live at the Toronto International Film Festival. Well, welcome to Face to Face. We are sitting here kind of live. I don't even know where the heck we are, actually, but we're in some bar here in Toronto with three special guests, and here to talk about the Gaza Surf Club world premiere, Philip Gannat, Matthew Olson, and Michael, you mean, yeah. Sometimes affectionately referred to as Mickey. So thanks, guys, for joining us. Philip, what exactly is the Gaza Surf Club is maybe a good place to start. This is a film about a lot of things. This is not a film about surfing.
Yeah, I think Gaza Surf Club is an idea. Is an idea that a bunch of guys in Gaza who like to practice a sport that is quite popular around the world. First of all, they just like the sport, but obviously this is a special region, and I think they, beside the sports, because this is such a special region, there needs more around the sports. So I think it's the idea is that the people who surf there, that they kind of they build a community.
They're building a community.
Yeah. Because as they started, I think a lot of these guys surfed a little bit for their own. There was the North Beach and the South Beach, and it would be nice if they could make to find a way to it's
maybe you yeah, well, actually we have Matt here with us, and Matt is not just one of the protagonists of the film.
Is he like the only surfer in the room?
Yeah, yes. Well, you know, I've stood on a board before. I wouldn't call myself a surfer, though.
I've been on twice, just so you know. Yeah. But I did used to skateboard, so yeah. I have a lot of affinity for the film.
I've done a couple of other things, but...
Oh, and by the way, congratulations. It's a great film.
Oh,
it's
thanks.
A great doc. It's peeling back a whole lot of layers. And yeah? It really is.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's been a long journey for us. It's been 4 years. Just to get back to your question
about
what the God of the Surf Club really is, because Matt over here is basically... the person who coined the name out of the surf club. So before he came around, there were people surfing in Gaza.
Right, okay.
And I'll let Matt actually introduce you more.
Well, I think I noticed t-shirts, hats, you know, that I'm guessing that wasn't necessarily made just for the film. I mean,
wasn't made for the film at all, actually. That came, but you go ahead.
Yeah, no, the surf club is a project that I started in 2008, actually in 2007, in the fall of 2007. And it's a real club. I mean, it's part of a 501c3 American nonprofit that I run called Explore Corps, and that was our pilot project. And the idea was to put together resources both inside Gaza and outside of Gaza that could help to build a sustainable surfing community there, because there were already a few surfers in Gaza, but it's an extremely difficult sport to get equipment for, to transport equipment, to maintain equipment. It takes a real skill set and a real community working together.
Well, they can't even get the boards across the border.
Right, yeah. Yeah. We brought the biggest shipment of boards we brought across, took us 2.5 years of negotiations to get across the Israelis.
Utterly ridiculous.
Yeah. So our goal has always been to build a sustainable surfing community. And there's, you know, extra things to go along with that, like a clubhouse, and a Palestinian National Surfing Association, so they could get international.
And is this about Philip's comment earlier about building a community?
That was the goal from the beginning, because there were a couple surfers here and there in Gaza, but they didn't work together. They didn't even know each other in some circumstances.
So what? But you're Hawaii and you're a surfer. So why?
Yeah. Well, my father was a U.S. diplomat, and he was stationed in Israel for 4 years, but his job was in Gaza. So we lived, when I was in high school, just north of Tel Aviv, and my father would commute down to Gaza every day. So I have friends on both sides of the border since I was 13. And I started surfing when I was 13, or actually when I was 12. And I always wanted to surf in Gaza. So as soon as I heard that there were a few surfers down there, I started to put together this idea for a project.
It's very cool, by the way. Before we go a little deeper, is the surfing better in Hawaii or in Gaza? We need to get that
much
out.
Better.
Yeah, let's get that on the
much
table.
Better in Hawaii. Much better in Hawaii.
Yeah. It seems a little tamer, almost. It doesn't seem quite as angry.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's still just the Mediterranean. I mean, there are good waves. People ask me all the time how the waves are there. If you were a surfer and you lived in Gaza, you would want to have a board with you. You'd have way too many days when you woke up and look out the window and be frustrated that you didn't have a board. So it's not a place where you're necessarily going to go just for the surf. But if you lived there, having a surfboard is a great way to have some fun.
But for us as a film team, to be honest, we were surprised how big the waves actually were.
Right, because it provided a whole lot of challenges, I would imagine.
And we asked a lot of people, is the summer season better? Is the winter season better? And we got quite a different... variety of answers, but finally we were there in October, November.
Yeah.
And we got some pretty amazing waves.
It's incredible.
Actually,
it's incredible. So, it really is stunning.
It's very choppy. You know, the waves are.
Well, I think the word angry didn't come up while I was watching the film, but that's sort of the sense I get. Like, you could be really thrashed against the shore here if you weren't careful.
Oh, yeah. And they, you know, the harbor, actually, the marina, the harbor, is where the best waves actually are, because I think it's because of the
Of the shape of it, because it
jetty?
Creates a sandbar out in the little bay there.
So that's actually where the best waves are, but there's so many other problems that go along with that. First of all, it's dangerous because there's, you know, rusty metal sticking out and rubble, and also actually this we only found out on the third day after we were in the water for a while, is that one of the main sewer lines just goes right out into the water right there.
Great.
So our cameraman had
good safety tip.
Had a bit of a
I love the way you guys the tracking shots, the cross cutting between sort of the I mean, obviously Gaza, many, many people and families and so on living there, but the rubble of that cross-cutting between the footage is really quite stunning and remarkable and kind of almost compelling in a way to ask more questions.
Yeah.
I think for me, my favorite shot in the whole film, and there's a lot, is the straightening of the rebar. Do you guys?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I got construction roots. I'm actually an electrician, so
really?
So I've worked in and around rebar reinforcing rod for our listeners, by the way.
Yeah.
And the guys straightening it and the gizmo that they'd created to use the old metal to rebuild. I mean, it's beautiful. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't this the Gaza Surf Club in a sense?
Yeah, they do the same thing with concrete. They take all the concrete rubble from buildings that have been destroyed and they pound it into aggregate and they get cement in and they reuse it in new construction. And the surfers do the same thing with their equipment. They take anything they can scrap together to fix their equipment with. We've done some workshops showing them how to use locally available materials, like how to make surf wax out of beeswax
right.
and natural ingredients that are available right in the market there. Of course, they still want the real surf wax, but...
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, I couldn't help. I mean, in the lovely sort of irony, I don't know if it's irony, but the Vans wetsuit and praying just before going under the water is probably my second favorite shot. I'm wearing a pair of Vans right now, so it goes way back in my own skateboarding history.
Yeah.
What, pray tell, is Islamic nail polish? I need to ask.
Actually, I don't think Islamic nail polish exists. I think it's just regular nail polish that just... She can just
with her sense of humor.
She can scrape off. Yeah.
Is that
I think it's water soluble.
Sabah is her name?
Sabah.
Yeah, Sabah. Yeah.
But Mickey, it must be special nail polish because normal nail polish you can't remove by hand. It must be
something. It's water soluble nail polish.
It's water soluble to be taken off in a hurry if need be. I mean, I laughed out loud.
Yeah.
I wasn't quite sure if it was her sense of humor, which I think she's got a delightful one, or her sense of just pushing back. You know, against the system.
Yeah, I mean, for the listeners here, there's a scene where one of the girls that is there puts on nail polish, and she says that in school, her teachers might scold her because she's wearing nail polish, and that if that happens, she can take it off real quick. So that's why it's Islamic nail polish. But yeah, I guess
the great thing about that is that she might be in school, but she still doesn't know whether or not she can wear it because this is it's a great. Representation of Gaza in general, that the Hamas government is constantly changing rules and regulations on a day-to-day basis on a whim. So you can go to school one day and nail polish is fine, you can go to school the next day and nail polish is illegal, and then you can go back the next day and it's fine again. It just kind of depends on the whims of the people in charge. It's like that with
pretty
with
hard
surfing
to make
equipment,
any steps forward, it seems
yeah,
to me.
Yeah, it's very difficult. I mean, we brought wetsuits in, and then one day we were told wetsuits are now illegal because they're considered military equipment. And so they confiscated a bunch of wetsuits from us. So it's...
Yeah, but you have to remember what the idea behind that is. I mean, the military, they can use wetsuits. You know, that's not a bad thing to have.
So this is personal gain. This is a little bit of corruption.
There's
a lot of corruption going on.
There's plenty of corruption.
There's one guy sitting there.
Plenty of unpredictability.
Yeah.
So what about the reason I asked about the nail polish is clearly the gender sort of undertone of the whole film with her wanting to surf and another favorite scene where the family is watching the video of her surfing. I mean, it almost brings a tear to your eye. The pride of the whole family, right? And the father's pride of his daughter out surfing and doing something, I guess, kind of naughty in a way and really kind of unacceptable at a certain age.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yet he says, and he's holding his baby and saying, I'm gonna train this one as well, which is just, I love the pushback. Is that something that is it safe to do that in Gaza, or can you get away with it because you're surfers?
I mean, generally,
you're rebellious.
Generally, in those countries, I guess it's not necessarily always about religion. It's more about tradition, and it's also about, you know, politics and the government. And like Matt was saying, you know, sometimes they just change the laws around. But I guess it's always it's a give and take. You need to see how much you can do and how much you can say and who you say it to. But, I mean, the father is, although he's so... you know, he's teaching his girls how to swim and how to surf and all those things. At the same time, he's also very religious and very traditional.
He strikes me as really traditional.
He has multiple wives, for example, and he has like eight kids. I can't remember his insane amount of kids.
And telling everybody to God, kids, God telling everybody God bless you.
Abu Ghanem.
Yeah.
I think it was 10.
Right?
The last time I was there. Yeah.
Ten kids.
Yeah.
Wow. It's a lot of surfboards.
Yeah. He had two toddlers there, I think, at the time. So yeah, he's busy.
He's busy. He's a busy guy.
He's a busy guy. But yeah, that's the thing. It's more about the tradition, you know.
Right.
Certain things are allowed. Other things are you know, not forbidden, but they're, you know, frowned upon. So girls surfing at the age of 15, 16 is not necessarily forbidden, but it's frowned upon.
Certainly frowned upon.
If you get older than that, like a girl that's maybe 16, 17, 18 years old, I guess you're getting into that region where it might even be illegal, you know. But
In Gaza it is,
yeah.
Is that something, you know, as the club, I guess, continues to grow and build and hopefully the vision grows, you know, sort of beyond itself and the idea, is that something that's going to create grief, do you think? Or is it something, you know, that whole split? I mean, clearly you've got a nonprofit going on here. Is, you know, the splash and ripple, is this going to grow out? Is this slowly chiseling away?
You mean
away
with the girls specifically?
Yeah, well, you know, gender issues, political issues. I mean,
yeah, you know,
surfing becomes the metaphor for change, right?
I mean, right, and I let the parents kind of lead the way with that. I never approached any girls because I know it could get me in a lot of trouble, and it has gotten me in a lot of trouble. I've spent more time in the police station in Gaza than I would care to, and with the internal security services and everything. Primarily because we have some girls that we've brought some equipment to and taken out in the water and things. Now we do it very early in the morning when no one's on the beach, not to hide it, but just to...
Don't flaunt it.
Not to flaunt it, exactly. And we always go by, we take the lead from the girls' parents. The girls are, there's two sets of sisters and their cousins and their fathers are brothers. They're the ones who, they asked me for years, oh, hey, can we bring the girls down? And I said, yeah, of course, bring them down. It took 3 years before they even brought the girls down to meet everyone.
Wow.
So... They're hesitant, but they're also determined to make their daughters into watermen.
Well, they almost seem like, I mean, there definitely is a very playful aspect to these guys that are sort of, it seems to me like they're pushing back in a lot of ways. I would have loved to have heard some of those other conversations around tea, you know, that you guys didn't put into the film. I bet there's some really interesting stuff that you had to leave out that covers a lot of ground. And again, back to Philip's original comment about this sense of building community, I mean, it seems to me that's what's really going to affect long-term change, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you've lived there, you guys spent a lot of time in the region with these guys, getting to know them as friends. I mean, I can't remember his name, but the guy who's sort of the teacher of, the guy with the great eyes, beautiful
Abu
eyes.
Yeah.
He says, it's a prison here. There is no hope. And he looks at you guys, I think, and says, if you see hope, tell me where it is, because I can't find it. I mean, again, I laughed out loud, but I think I get it, sort of.
Yeah. Well, you know, Abu Jayab, he's the oldest of the surfers, and he's also been surfing the longest of the group of surfers that are there. And, you know, he is very frank about the realities for someone like himself. You know, he's not a young kid that can kind of hop on a plane and fly somewhere. He has family, he has responsibility. He's from a refugee camp, which most of the surfers are not, so things are even worse for him. But he's also the one who has taken the most initiative to kind of develop the surfing community in Gaza. He's the one who's kind of taken on the role of a leader, but a fair leader, which is something that should be noted because leadership is not always fair in Gaza. He's taken it on himself, and he teaches kids, and he brings people out for workshops, and he maintains his equipment, and he's really, really a hard worker.
He's pretty committed.
Yeah, he's very committed.
Pretty passionate guy.
Yeah, he's a really great guy to work
with. So sadly, we have to wrap up in a couple minutes here, and I hope maybe we can do part two down the road. So clearly you've got big plans with the club and just the nonprofit side of it, I guess. I'd love to hear more about that maybe at another time. Maybe we can do a follow-up interview. How did you get to connect it? Was it on the beach in Waikiki or?
Us?
Yeah. How did this become go from a club to becoming a film?
No, I found this topic via an article in a sports magazine.
Wow, I love it.
Awesome. So one of my best friends is actually from Gaza.
Okay.
But he's this very political guy, and at the barbecue it's always about politics and Israel and stuff like this.
I like him already.
And it's very interesting, but over the years getting like, okay, I know the stories. And when I found this story, I was amazed that it was so different.
Mm.
So this is something, a story about Gaza, which is not so political in the first place. And I like the idea to do a documentary about it. And from the beginning I was very aware that I need a producer or co-director who speaks Arabic or he's familiar with the region, and this is why I found Mickey, because he was raised in Cairo, so he speaks fluently Arabic, Egyptian Arabic. And after we started the project together, we were introduced to Matthew.
Well, congratulations, 4 years. That's a major commitment.
It took a while.
I bet it did, and based on the footage, it's a beautiful film. It's a wonderful film. I think it's gonna. I hope it raises a lot of questions. I hope it generates a lot of interest in the Surf Club. And there's a website as well, was there not?
Yep.
GazaSurfClub.com, I believe.
.com, yeah.
Yeah, excellent, guys. Congratulations, Philip Gannat, Michael Yamin, and Matthew Olson here today, talking about the Gaza Surf Club world premiere at the Toronto International Film Festival. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for
Thank you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.